I can truly say it is good to be in God's house tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for the good week that He's blessed us with. Thankful for just a few short days how God can knit some people's hearts together. Think how good God is that He allows our paths to cross the way that He does. What an honor it has been to be here in Rhonda. I love Him tonight. Amen. Do you love Him tonight? Are you glad you're saved tonight? I know I am. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know Him and the free pardon of sin. Been at odds all week. I don't know if any of you preachers ever been in this shape and just come into the house of God not even sure what direction you're supposed to go in. God's had three or four different messages on my heart. Wouldn't give me clearance for nothing else. And I wrote a couple of little notes down tonight, so I won't be long before you. But I believe this is God, what God would have us to ask you tonight. We'll be looking in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. 1 Samuel, chapter number 16 tonight. And if y'all want to stand for just another moment and rest yourselves, I know you've been sitting for a while, and the hours are getting late, and I promise you, I won't keep you very long. I promise you, I won't keep you, but I want to give you what God's given me, because I believe that's what He's called us to do tonight. But in 1 Samuel, chapter number 16, starting in verse number 1, Scripture says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate the privilege once again, God, to be in your house. And God, we're nothing but just a little speck of dirt in your hands. And God, I'm glad that you're using us the way that you are. God, I pray you just help us to get out of the way. God, you have your will and way in this service. And God, we can truly say already it's been an honor to be in your house. And I'm glad I can feel your presence. God, I pray you make your presence known in this house tonight. Lord, we love you and thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I was reading over the scriptures all week and going back and forth. And in my studies, I've been reading through the New Testament. And so I've been preaching a lot out of Mark and John, right where I've been caught up, because that's what I've been familiar with. But the Lord's called me into this one tonight. It's one of the first messages I ever preached. And it's not the same message, but it's the first scripture, one of the first scriptures I ever preached out of. But I want to ask you one question tonight. When God sees you, what does He see? When God sees you, what does He see? I love this verse number 7. He found here in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And I underline this last part. It says, For the Lord seeth, not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart.
Amen.
Amen. And what? My mind got to turning and I got to thinking, you know what? God expects us as children of God to be real. And why is that? Because the world is looking for something that's real. We encounter people on a daily basis that come up to us and talk to us. Maybe they've seen a video of ours on the internet or something. And they come up and talk to us and they say, we want a little something like what you've got. Because the world can't offer anything that the Lord offers. Amen. The world has nothing to offer like God has to offer. Because I remember a time in my own life when I was out in sin. And I'm not going to tell you everything I used to be. Because I really hadn't really done a whole lot. Amen. I was raised up in church. I grew up in church. I was the son of a deacon. And I was drugged to church every time that the doors were open. And I learned from a very early age what it was to play church. Amen. I learned what it was to dress the part, preacher. I learned what it was to cut my hair right to be acceptable to the brethren. I learned what it was like to dress to be acceptable to the church. I learned what it was like to pretend to be something that I wasn't. You see, that's one of the dangers that I believe that we face in our churches today. We drag our kids to church, and I believe with all my heart that every time the house of God is open, that we should have our kids in the house of God. Amen? That's where we ought to be. That's what Scripture commends us to do, and I believe that's what we ought to do. But along with that, being in church every time, I got to... I learned stuff by watching people. I learned stuff. I don't do real well to reading instructions, preacher. I mean, I can read instructions. But if you want to show me something and I want to learn how to do something, I'm going to watch somebody do it. And that's how I learned. So I watched all these men of God when I was growing up. I watched some old deacons in my church. I watched my daddy. And I learned how they would talk. I would learn how they would dress. And I would learn what it was to come in and play church. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night when the church was open, I was in my seat playing church. You see, I hadn't been saved yet. Although they thought I had. See, I come to the altar at the age of 6 with a friend of mine, and I just knelt down with him. Never even prayed a prayer, didn't open my lips. And they thought that that was it. I was settled. I was saved and on my way to heaven. Amen? But I knew that I hadn't done anything. I knew within myself that I was nothing. But I thought I could be good enough. I thought I could dress the part. I thought I could play the part. And for a long, long time, I fooled my daddy. For a long, long time, I fooled my mama. I fooled my preacher. But I read this verse. God doesn't look on the outside. He doesn't care what we look like on the outside. You see, we dress to try to impress everybody around us. But when it comes to God, it doesn't matter what we look like. Doesn't matter what we sound like. Doesn't matter the words we say. Because He sees what's inside the heart. Amen? He sees exactly who we are. My sister, not long ago, she took a trip. I guess it was about 2 years ago. She went through Rome and Greece and went to all the ruins there in the ancient Greece. And she, along with all these other thousands of people, were gathered around the ruins of the temple. And there was these little rocks just thrown around everywhere. I ain't going to make a mess like they have there. But I'm just going to use one for an example to leave it laying there. But she picked up a little piece of marble around those ruins. Because she wanted to have something to take home with her. To remind her where she was, where she had been. And she thought she had something very valuable there. And I got to thinking when she told me and showed me what she had, preacher. She had a piece of marble from Greece. And that can't deny that. But don't you think that after all these thousands of years of them ruins of being there. And thousands upon thousands of people coming every day. Picking up these little scraps. Don't you think at some point they'd run out? That's just the way my mind works. That's how I think of things. Maybe I'm just a pessimist at heart. I don't know. But that's how I looked at things. And I got to look and study on that. Ever so often, about every 2 or 3 months, the government over in Rome will go down to the marble quarry and get up a truckload of their scraps that they've thrown away. And they'll come in at night and they'll spread them around them ruins. So that when the visitors come, they'll have something to pick up. You see, what they get there is not really a real thing at all. It's just a piece of trash. But these people upon people are taking something home with them because they think they've got something that's real. It got me to thinking that's how our churches are today. Person upon person is sitting in the house of God in a pew, filling their spot, thinking that they've got everybody fooled, thinking they've even got God fooled. But you can't fool God. See, I was able to fool my preacher. I was able to fool my daddy and my mama. I was 24 years old when I got saved, preacher. 24 years old. And God allowed me to live all those years. If I'd have died, I'd have went to hell. But I didn't have anything within me that was real. Isaiah says our righteousness is as filthy rags anyway. But I've noticed the trend in our churches that people try to get along on their own merit. They try to get along with something that's a counterfeit. They don't have something that's real. They've just got a piece of trash that's been thrown by the wayside. And when it comes to the end of the way and we stand before God, is what we have holding on to, is that going to be a piece of trash in His eyes? Is He going to throw us away? Is He going to cast us away into hell? Is that what He's going to do to you, church member? I don't know, but I can tell you this. From the outside looking at you, standing here tonight, if I'm looking at you, everything looks pretty good. I mean, y'all are a good-looking bunch of people. The choir sounded good, sang good, and y'all responded good, and I could look out and see smiles everywhere. But I've learned along my way, you can have a smile on your face and not have anything in your heart to back it up. Amen? God sees what's in the heart. God knows who you are and what you're going through. And I told you this was going to be very quick tonight, and it is. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to get my family to come back up here to sing one song. A long time ago, there was a very wealthy man in a country. And he wanted to be a musician so bad he couldn't stand it. All he ever wanted to do was play in the king's court. He wanted to do something. He couldn't play a lick. He didn't know what to do. He couldn't read music. Couldn't play anything. But this man had a lot of money. So he went up to the royal band, the royal orchestra, and he bought himself a seat in the orchestra. Now, he didn't get a seat up front. He didn't sit on the front row of this orchestra. He sat somewhere back in the middle where nobody would really notice him because he couldn't play. He was just sitting there pretending the whole time. And he paid this orchestra director enough that he had him a seat reserved for years upon years, and year after year he would fill the spot because he wanted to impress the king. After so many years, the maestro, he passed away. And they brought in a new one. They brought in somebody else that was going to lead this orchestra. And he made an announcement. One after one, he was going to call them forth. And they were going to have to prove themselves. They were going to have to play before the judge. They were going to have to see if they were worthy to sit in the king's orchestra. Now this man knew that he couldn't play. When this man announced it, when the maestro announced that he was going to do this, this man wanted to get out of it so bad, but he had had his seat reserved for so long, everybody knew his name. Everybody knew where his spot was. When it come his turn, he tried to pretend he was sick. He tried to leave. They wouldn't let him out. Folks, there's going to be a judgment coming one day. Amen. We're going to face a judgment whether we like it or not.
You're right.
We're not going to get out of it. Amen.
Yeah.
Whatever condition you meet the Lord in, that's how you're going to face eternity. That's the condition that you're going to spend all time. And I've learned a long time ago that what I am and who I am will never be enough. But it's only going to take the blood of Jesus, amen, to be applied to my heart to make me worthy to stand before God. They come this man's turn, and he sat before the maestro, and he had to admit to the maestro, I can't play. I've been an imposter. I've been a counterfeit. I've been a phony all these years. I thought I could get in with my money. I thought I could get in with my wealth. I could get in just by sitting in a seat. But it wasn't enough. One of these days, church member, there's going to come a time when we're going to have to prove ourselves because we're going to stand before a judge.
Yeah.
And this judge, he don't look on the outside. He don't care where you sit, how many times you sit in a church pew, how many times you've attended the house of God. Because he sees what's inside of you.
Right.
He knows whether you're the real deal or not.
Yeah.
And he's going to look at you and judge you one day. This is where the term face the music came from. Have you ever heard that term? It's time to face the music.
Yeah.
That's where that term came from. It came this man's turn to face the music, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it on his own. He didn't have anybody to stand in his stead that day. Because he'd pretended all those years. Don't you think after all those years he could have learned to play something along the way? He could have learned a little bit, but he thought that he had it figured out. Church member, when it comes to the end of the way, are you going to have it figured out? The only thing we can figure out tonight is that God, Jesus Christ, is the only way. That's the only way you can be saved. It doesn't matter how good you are, how good you look to me. And although I think you ought to put your very best on when you come to the house of God, in the end, none of that's going to matter. What's going to truly matter is with your names been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you have it settled forever? Are you saved tonight? I'm glad I can stand and take you to the place where I met Jesus Christ. Amen. To finish my testimony, I was in a church house one night going to revival. Even you can be a singer and not know Jesus Christ. And that's exactly who I was, preacher. I was supposed to sing in revival on a Thursday night. And God was dealing with me. I was so tired of who I was. I was so sick of living the way I was, pretending, knowing full well that I was a counterfeit, knowing full well that I was a phony. I couldn't do nothing on my own. So I told my preacher, I said, I'm not going to sing tonight. And I didn't tell him why. I didn't tell him anything about it. And I put it off. I kept trying to put it off. But I got to riding home. Or I was going to see Patricia that night. We weren't even married yet. And I was going to go see her at her mama's house. And an old song by the Wilburns come on called Somebody Touched Me. It was on a Monday, Somebody Touched Me. It was on a Tuesday, Somebody Touched Me. They started singing this song, and they got to rolling around in my head. And I knew right well I didn't have a day I could stand and sing that song with them. Because they would want you to sing on the day that you got saved. And if you didn't have a day that you could remember what day it was on a one day you could stand and sing along with them. I didn't have a day that I could stand. I didn't have a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. I didn't have a day I could claim. But I can tell you now, I have a Thursday, amen, because I met the King of Kings and I met the Lord of Lords, and He changed my life and put me on the right road, amen. I'm glad He came right to where I was. See, I wasn't even in the house of God when I met Him. I was in Miss Anna's little living room, knelt beside a couch, and my wife prayed with me, and I called upon the Lord, amen. I'm glad I don't have to be in a church house to be saved, although I should have went. When God was a-dealing with me, He spared my life. He had mercy on me, and He kept a-dealing with my heart. And I'm glad He did, because it's never been the same. I couldn't tell you the weight and the burden that was lifted off my soul, because I was so tired of not being what I should have been. I was so tired of pretending to be something that I wasn't. So now when God looks at me, although He may see sometimes that I mess up and I make mistakes, and I make blunders all the time, He sees me as spotless, amen, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't look at what I am or who I go places with or what I do anymore. But He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful. I am so thankful to be saved tonight. And I don't have to live under that burden, trying to pretend to be something that I'm not. That weight was so heavy. I reckon Isaiah is still in the book, amen?
Yeah, right.
My righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing I could do to earn my way into heaven.
Right.
It takes the blood of Jesus tonight.
Absolutely.
So I want to ask you this one question as my family comes up to sing one song. When God looks at you, what does He see? When I look at you, I see something that looks really good. I love God's people. I love being in the house of God. I love church people. That's where He's put me and my family. But when it comes to the end of the way, it doesn't matter how you look to me. It doesn't matter how you look to us. It doesn't matter how you look to the preachers. It matters how you look to God. Because He sees exactly who you are. Who are you when nobody's looking? I'm just an old beggar. Saved by grace, brother. Saved by grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad I've met the Master. I'm glad I know Him. Let's stand tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. And thank You, God, for this church. And God, I pray You'll help us to search our hearts tonight to see, do we have the real thing? Are we really real? And when You look at us, what do You see? I want to be a vessel that's worthy. I want to be something that brings You honor. I want to be somebody that You look upon. One of these days when I get home, maybe You'll say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." I remember the time when I knelt in the altar, and I brought it all to You. And You took a deceiver, You took a pretender, and You made something out of him that he couldn't do for himself. And I'm so thankful that You saved an old wretch like me. Now, I don't know the needs and the hearts of the people here tonight. God, when I look at them, everything looks all right. And I know we're tired in body tonight, and I know we're tired. But God, help us for just a few moments to look at our hearts and see, are we the real thing? When it's time to face the music, is it going to be enough? Do we have the blood of Jesus applied? Lord, help your people tonight, we pray. As we sing, I don't know your needs tonight, but God wouldn't let me get away from this. Me being the planner that I am, I wanted to have all my notes and everything in order and all my scriptures studied out. But God sent this to somebody tonight because you're not who you really claim to be. And you know the condition of your heart. While we sing, if you want to get things made right, it'd be a good time to get in this old altar and call out upon the name of Jesus.